Pyramids. Please turn with me here tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel and chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. And we've been dealing in this series on authority and submission. May seem a strange one or a controversial one to preach in Ireland and Limerick of all places on authority and submission. But the Bible is filled with this issue of authority and submission. And I can assure you, you'll never be free in your life until you submit yourself to God. You say, I don't want to submit myself to God or His Word or anything of Christianity. Then you will die as a rebel.
Yeah,
that is the only two options. If you submit yourself to Him, He'll put your life in order. If you say, I want to have all my rights and liberties, then fine, search your own life out. But you'll never experience the power and the freedom of God. As soon as you submit yourself to Him, He will set you free.
Hallelujah.
He will bring a reality of His own hand and His own power. We have been dealing with authority and submission, and we will in the weeks ahead. My message tonight is Saul, David, and Absalom. Or let me tell you a tale of three kings here tonight. Saul, David, and Absalom. Reading from 1 Samuel 24 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet or to go to the toilet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thine hand, that thou mayest do to them as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily or privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and he suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also afterward went out of the cave, and he cried after Saul, saying, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth, and he bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou the men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me thee, but mine eye spared thee. Some bade me to kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see ye, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and I killed thee not. Know thou, and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, or the old men, Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and he wept. And he said, David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hold. Father, we pray that you bless your word, that you open our eyes, that you illuminate us. Lord God, I look back over the years and see how alive and living these truths are. Father, I call upon you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. I call on you tonight to arise and to plead our cause. I require of you, I call upon you, I remind you that you will judge between me and every single individual in this city, nor God of the north, of the south, nor God in every other nation. I ask of you that you be my avenger, that you do what you see fit in your own eyes. That, Lord God, our hand shall not smite those that do wickedly unto us. We shall not avenge ourselves. We shall not, nor God, return evil for evil. But, Lord God, we bless those who despitefully use us. Those who curse us, we bless them in the name of Jesus. And my God, I do ask of you, Lord God, bring such a reality of your truth that again we may understand authority and submission. Lord God, knowing and understanding these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. My message, Saul, David, and Absalom. I want to tell you the tale of three kings. I want to tell you a vital truth that is remarkable and has actually molded my life, my heart, my decision, the whole direction of my life for the past 25 years at least. I believe in every crisis that I faced for 25 years, every issue of authority and submission that I have faced in many different countries over the past 25 years, I have gone to this story of Saul, of David, and Absalom. This has been my light in the dark place. It has guided my feet. It has actually directed the words of my lips. It has guarded my heart. It has molded the attitudes of my mind. You see, saints, that is a real Christian. And if you allow this book to mold your words, your actions, your deeds, I don't care who stands against you. I don't care who challenges you, who tries to destroy you. After the fire has come and gone, you will come forth as gold. But show me someone who plays around with Christianity in the city of Limerick. They play with authority, they play with submission, and they play with the church, and yet they come back and say, oh, but I'll be vindicated. I'll assure you that person is heading for judgment from the hand of God himself. Saints, I've worked awfully hard to make sure I walk in the statutes and the light of this instruction of this book. Let me give you a bit of background here to the kingship of Israel. We actually read in the book of 1 Samuel concerning the prophet Samuel. He was a man of God. You remember about the house of Eli. It had become so corrupt, the religion of Israel. Eli was the best spiritual man in the land, and yet he was compromised. He was old. He was blind. He didn't judge his children in the church. Now hear me as we begin. Eli was a good man. He served God 40 years. He was actually a priest. But why did God cut him his children and all that generation of, why did he kill the leadership in his nation in 1 hour? Do you know why? Because he did not deal with his spiritual children in the house of God. The Bible actually says because he didn't remove them from ministry, God says, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge your house. I'm going to kill your children. I'm going to change everything. Eli, you're a good man. Eli, you don't live in sin. Eli, you preach the truth. But because you do not deal with things in the house of God, I'm removing you and your family. Saints, that's why I'm so strong in dealing with things in the church. Because if I don't, God will remove me from this church and this city. If I don't deal with sin, I'm nothing but an Eli. My eyes are blind. I have grown fat spiritually. I have grown old. And all God will do is say, Keith, your time has come. You're old. You're backslidden. You're a nice man. But I tell you, you don't deal with the house of God. I assure you, I will not be an Eli. I want to make sure that I'm a Samuel. Young Samuel was only a boy when old Eli got judged by the hand of God. Samuel was a man of God with the authority of God, submitted to God, who spoke the word of God. He was a man of faith, a man of prayer, a man of fire, a man who walked with God, a man who God actually bore witness to everything he actually said. But we read that in Samuel's later life, that Israel, the leaders of Israel, come to him. And they actually say, we want a king like the other nations around us. We are not satisfied with what God established. What did God establish? A preacher of the word of God. A Samuel, a man of God who prayed, a man of God who prophesied. And they said, it doesn't satisfy us. We want a king like the other nation. We want leaders like the other nations. We want a man to come in and organize our entire lives and lay everything out and tell us what to do and lay it all out in a structured fashion. We don't want to live unto God individually. We don't want to be responsible for hearing the word of God and obey it. Just create a nice, beautiful, big church and we can sit there and enjoy it and we don't need to obey God. And Samuel was so broken over this. We're actually told that he went home and he begins to cry before the Lord and he says, Lord, look what the people have done. They are rejecting the authority of a man of God standing in a pulpit and praying for them. And they said, we don't want that. We actually want a king, a leader. We want authority like the nations. Hey, look at all the big movements that are in the church today. We love a lovely, structured, Brother Keith, can you not be a bit more like the local Catholic priest? No.
Amen.
Can you not be a bit more like the preachers of television? No.
Yes.
Can you not be like the mild-mannered Baptist guy or Pentecostal guy down the road? No, I can't.
Oh, exactly.
Who never bothers us and doesn't talk about sin and all he says is Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Is that not sufficient? No, it is not.
Amen.
You see, God will give you what you desire. And I assure you, if you reject a man of God standing in the pulpit prophesying to your heart, if you reject that sort of leadership, God will give you another kind. God will give you a leadership you love. And you desire, and you say, I want this. And you know what? That leadership will abuse you. It'll empty your pockets. It'll cost you an awful lot. It'll send your children and your grandchildren to hell. But yet they'll have the name of Jesus on their lips. It's happened all across the church. I can assure you. We have Samuel praying unto the Lord. And saying, Lord, they've rejected me. They've rejected the preaching, they've rejected truth, they've rejected a man that's lived right and prayed right and desires to do nothing but what the word of God says. They've rejected this. The Lord says, no, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me.
Right.
You cannot reject godly leadership without touching God. God puts godly leaders in the church. Any man who rejects that and says, I don't want that, I assure you, they are rejecting God himself. Saints, preachers are nothing. They are absolutely nothing. But I tell you, if God anoints them and God puts them in place and God gives them a message to preach and you treat them as if, no, I want this in the church. I want a nice social club in the church. Fine, you'll end up getting what you want. Oh, I want a Christianity that lets me sin. And I can feel good about it. You will get that and you'll go to hell and wake up in hell and realize what you asked for.
Yeah.
It is so, so real. You see, as we come to Samuel's lifetime, we see a change of governmental authority in the nation.
Yeah.
It went from being a preacher of the word, prophesying the word of God, and it's going to be a man seated on a throne. We actually see, even when the kings were established, we then see it go from Saul to David. We see it going from the sort of leadership man wants to the sort of leadership that God wants. We see it changing from a man who is absolutely the authority of this world to being God's type of authority. Let me deal tonight with these three kings. And you're going to learn lessons about authority and submission. You see, God said to Samuel, do what they say. They've rejected me. I'll give them a king. I'll give them the king they want. I'll give them a type of leadership they want. I'll give them the preacher they want. I'll give them the sort of church that they want. Why do you think we have so many churches in our world the way they are? Why do you think there's so many different ones? And they're so radically far from the Bible. Yet they're all saying, oh, we love Jesus. Why do you think that is? Do you know what? Those churches are molded according to the heart of man. They said, we want a church like this. And I don't want to belong to a church that says, this is what we want.
Yeah.
That isn't the church. That's not the real church.
Yeah.
I want a church where God says, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I am looking for a certain type of Christian. Saints, first of all, let me go to Saul. Or as he later become was King Saul. Let's look at this man Saul and see the teaching of authority and submission in the Bible. Where did God find Saul? In 1 Samuel chapter 9. And verse 2, we read about God actually laying his hand on this young man. The first time we read about Saul is in 1 Samuel chapter 9. And listen to what it says about him. Saul, a choice young man and a goodly young man. Now notice him, he's a young man of 30 years old. And the Bible says that he was a young man and he was a goodly man. In other words, when you looked upon him, I tell you, everything was in the right place. He didn't have one ear down and one ear up. He didn't have a broken nose. He didn't have eyes that were squint. I can assure you, this man had been chiseled. If you looked at his profile, his body, everything, he was a goodly man. He was just what you would want. You said, what a beautiful looking man. And it says, there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Now look at him. He was the most beautiful man in the city. No, he was the most beautiful man in the tribe. No, he was the most beautiful man in the entire nation. And when you looked upon him, the people said, oh, what a leader. This is the sort of man I would want as a leader. He looks like a leader. Remember in the New Testament, those at Corinth in the church, they said, we don't think much of your appearance.
Yes.
Paul, we actually don't even like your style of preaching. How dangerous.
Yes.
But here's a man, God saying, I'm going to give them exactly what's going to impress them. I'm going to give them that they're going to be sitting open mouthed odd and going, wow, what a leader. This is the leader we've always desired in the nation. And God has given him to us and God has chosen him. You see, God is saying, I'll give you the best leader you can possibly get that you could desire. I mean, you won't choose a better one than I'm going to give you. He is the best that man can possibly produce or that a man and woman could ever give birth to. And it says that from his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any of the people. In other words, none of them reached to his shoulder. Look at him. He's a giant of a man. He's a beautiful man. He's a young man. And here he is. He's a giant of a man. When we first see him, look at verse 3, it says, and the asses of Kish, his father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses or the donkeys. The first time we ever see Saul, what's he doing? He's looking after his daddy's donkeys. This was his job. And you know what? He wasn't a very good donkey looker after. Okay? And he went and lost them. He didn't know until they're 3 days away. So here's a young man who's so beautiful. He's probably looking in the mirror. And young guys, I tell you, I always worry about a young man or any man who looks in the mirror a lot. I mean, you ladies, you're meant to. You know, but when I find a man who's always having a look in the mirror, guys, that is a product of this generation. Amen. Men have never been like that. Or should I say, not real men. You get men in the Bible who are like that, I can assure you. Facebook's done a lot of damage to men in this generation. So is pornography. So is all of these things. I tell you, all these things change you into something else, and you don't realize that it's effeminate men. Even designing the... Have you ever seen those... trousers, jeans that they've been designing for men the past year or two? Girls' jeans where men wear them. Yeah. You know that young pop singer, whatever his name is. Beagle, Boogle, whatever. I tell you, wearing girls' skirts, and he says, I'm a Christian. His mommy wrote a book about it, says he's a born-again Christian. No born-again Christian wears girls' trousers, okay? I tell you, this is a messed up generation where our little kids in schools in England are being told at 5 years old, now do you think you're a boy or a girl? It's a crazy generation. Saints, don't let anyone say you're crazy or we're crazy. The world out there is crazy. And if you want the world, that's where it is heading. And I tell you, it's only being held back a little bit. It's going to get an awful lot worse. That's the world. That's sin. That's immorality. That's where it'll lead you. Oh, in Oxford University in England, we don't use he or she anymore. I'm getting off my message here, but it's good. Yes. I tell you, Oxford University, you've got to have an open gender. I can be any of 70 options when I open a Facebook account, so they say. What are you? Oh, I'm not sure. I'm spoiled for choice. Yes. Saints, we are living in a crazy generation, and that's where it goes. Now, I don't know how I got onto that, but I'm going back to these asses. Saul was here looking after his father's asses. The ass or the donkey is a symbol of man's rebellious nature. A stubborn nature. An animal that will do whatsoever it desires. Now this is where God found the great leader for Israel. You want a great leader? You want church as you want it? You want a preacher molded in your own image? You'll find him amongst the asses. Do you hear me? Just go out and look at the donkeys. That stubborn mule that's going to do it my way. That's where you'll find a king. That's where you'll find a preacher out amidst the donkeys. But look at him. He's out there looking for these donkeys. And he searches for 3 days. And here he is. He's a nobody. Saints, look at him. He's from the smallest family in the smallest tribe, and nobody knows about him. And here he is looking for his father's lost donkeys. And we are told that one of his servants actually says to him, here, we've been searching, we can't find him. There's a prophet's house. His name's Samuel. Samuel, never heard of him. Doesn't surprise me. Samuel, he lives there. We could go and ask the prophet to help us find the donkeys. You know, people who come to church and their hearts are saying, I just want God to speak to me about my donkeys. Don't deal with my sin. Don't deal with my life. Don't tell me what I should be. I don't want to be wandering around here. I want an easier life. I want you to help me in my career and make my life easier. Then I'm not all stressed out. If you come to church for that, God help you. Right. There's plenty of churches that'll help you find donkeys, all right. You'll get some old drunkard Catholic priest. He'll go across the field, help you bring the donkeys in if you want. But if you come to the house of God, you may come here with a reason. But God is going to have a different message. And you know, as they went to the door of the prophet, and Saul here, he says, nah, says, we need a gift for him. That's all they know. They think that prophet wants a gift, wants money. Now, if we're going to get his little bit of counsel, we better drop something in the basket. You don't know what Samuel's about.
Yeah, amen.
And you know, the Lord, the day before, had spoken to Samuel and said, Samuel, I'm sending a man to your door tomorrow. He is going to be the first king of Israel. Do you see him coming? Can you help us with our donkeys? I know who you are. I know you're God's chosen. Hear me. He was God's chosen king for Israel, the first one. He was really chosen by God. And says, tomorrow, this time of day, a man out of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him captain over my people Israel. This man who's run about looking for donkeys, God says, I'm going to raise you up in one moment of time, and I'm going to make you a captain over the entire nation. Do you know it's God who makes leaders, not men? They don't appoint themselves. They don't make themselves. They don't create themselves. They don't manipulate things and say, I'm a leader, I'm in ministry. There are self-appointed leaders in this city, many of them. And saints, go and look at their ministry, hear what they preach. There's guys out in that street preaching to everybody else, you need to be this and you need to be that. And they're nothing.
Amen.
They don't submit to authority, but they want others to submit to authority. They're telling others what to do, but nobody can tell them what to do.
Right.
There's something stinking about that.
Right.
And don't you look at, I don't care how much they smile, how much they dance, how much they laugh. That's a game.
Right.
And I'm telling you, there's preachers in this city, they play games with you.
Amen.
They don't care about the holiness of God.
That's right.
And they come to Samuel. And you know, there's others there, other young men. He says, come aside with me. Let's go on the roof for a chat, young man. Can you help me with my donkeys? Don't you worry about your donkeys. They've been found.
Yeah.
You can go back on, but I've got something else I want to tell you about. He actually gets him alone. He anoints him with oil. And he says, you are the anointed of God. You're the new king of Israel. Saul says, how can this be? I'm from the smallest tribe. How can you say I only know about donkeys. I can't even manage donkeys. And you're saying I'm going to be the king of Israel to fight the enemies of Israel. Since when God calls a man, supernatural power comes. That's how you know the anointing of God. There is an authority that comes from heaven. You could be wandering about, not kicking things in the street. God can so change you that you'll become a man of God or a woman of God who can be used in God's hand. I do believe that with all my heart. And Samuel says to this searcher after donkeys, you will save God's people from their enemies. Do you know, we're actually given a clue why God chose Saul. In chapter 15, 17, it says this, and my mum drilled this verse into my mind from a very young boy. I heard this verse so many times down over, up through my teens. I could just quote it to you. I used to dream about the verse. My mum said it so many times. You know why? Because she'd seen men in ministry fall for a ministry, for women, for money, and for power. And this is the verse she used to drill into me, 15 verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee the king over Israel. Now look at this authority to rule over God's people. It's given to this man because he is little in his own sight. God says, I chose you, Saul, because you're little in your own eyes. You didn't think anything of yourself. You were actually humble. You were very small. You didn't think you could do anything. So I chose you and I anointed you. And the Bible actually says that when Samuel took out the, notice it, vial of oil. What's a vial? A vial is a man-made vessel. And it's got a little, notice this, a little tiny opening at the top to drip out oil. That's what a vial is, okay? And I'm saying that for a reason. And he poured it upon his head and he kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed you to be captain over his inheritance? In verse 9 it says, and God gave him another heart. That's what the anointing of God does. He'll change your heart. If God ever anoints you to be a shepherd or an evangelist or a prophet, do you know the anointing of God will change you in one day? He will give you a different heart. That's what the anointing of God does. It changes your heart. You think differently. You will act differently. And it says in verse 10, this chapter 10, the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. He'd never done that before. Never once prophesied in his life. But if the Holy Spirit ever comes upon you, you will prophesy. You will speak in tongues. I tell you, you'll give a thus saith the Lord. Oh, I've never prophesied. Do you realize I've got friends, they never prophesied for decades. They'd never prayed in a prayer meeting. They were scared to open their mouth. And when the Holy Spirit came on them, they began to prophesy like an ancient prophet, revealing the secrets of men and women's hearts. I've met them along this way. That is the work of the Holy Spirit within a life. We also see here's a man, he's been anointed in secret. Anointed by God in secret. And we read in chapter 11 that the enemy invades. Where's Saul? He went back to his donkeys. He's out with the herds. He gets anointed and goes back and carries on doing the same. He prophesied once in a meeting and he's back there just settling into home life again. You know what? He was submitted to his father. He was submitted in the workplace. He was a man who was under authority. He was a man who said, I've got nothing to offer this world. God says, you're the very man for me. If you're not submitted in the workplace and you're not submitted in at home, why would God ever anoint you and use you in the church? No chance. No chance. I've met it, you know, all through the years. People said, God's going to use me. They're utterly unfaithful in their own life. There's people who come in, they don't even give to God, but say, I want God to use me and to bless me and to guide me and encourage me. You don't care anything about God. You don't want God. Your life in your natural realm, you prove you don't want God. But you come into the house of God, oh, anoint me. I feel his presence. I don't know why you shouldn't.
Yeah, amen.
Why would disobedient people feel the presence of God? Why would they? Why would rebels against his authority? He tells you to do something, you don't do it, but you think you're blessed. You're not blessed. You see, God knew where to find this man. Here he is, anointed, called, chosen to be the first king, but he's off working at home. He's faithful, he's consistent. If God hasn't given you a task, go be faithful. Do what you're meant to be doing in the natural plane. The best place to get prepared for God to use you. And we're told that when he was at home, the enemy actually invaded the land. And a messenger comes to his village in Gibeah. And they come running in and saying, the enemy is invaded. And the people begin to cry. And you know, the messenger, as he moves through that community, Saul is standing there. He's working away. He's following the herd. And as soon as he hears, it says the Spirit of God came on him. And he got angry. Oh, Christians aren't meant to get angry, are they not? When they hear what the enemy's doing, they do get angry. I tell you, when I see people mess up the church, I do have a right to get angry. The Holy Spirit can produce an anger, not against people, not fighting flesh and blood, but a zeal of the Lord. I want to see a real church in this city with the order of God. I really want to see it. And it says the Spirit of God came upon him. And saints, he actually called the nation together. Do you know how many arose? 330,000 men instantly came. The fear of God came on them. No, a man who can't even find his donkeys. And just a little bit later, he calls an entire nation. 330,000 men. He said, if you don't come, you'll die. See, like I've killed this wild animal. You will die if you don't fight for your nation. They come to a man. Bring that back into the church again. Tired. Let's stone the rebels and get on with this.
Yes, amen.
Saints, I tell you, that half-fake Christianity is a curse in the church.
Right.
People playing games. Little pillow theologians. Yeah. Men who sit at home, play games, criticize everything, and they don't obey one thing God says. They're the biggest curse in the church in this generation. They know everything and they do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Saul raises up this great army. How did he do it? It was the anointing of God. Saints, that is the Holy Spirit. That's God changing a man and making him into a king of Israel. Notice here, he didn't manipulate anyone, did he?
No.
He didn't have to buy his way. He didn't drop compliments. Hey, he's at home. But the anointing of God upon him. You know what the Bible said? A man's gift will make way for him.
Yes.
And if God has given you a gift, you don't need to manipulate.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh, but I can sing, I can play an instrument. Oh, I can preach, I can dance. Yeah, well, take additions on Sunday afternoon if you want to dance. See who the best dancer is. Saints, a man's gift makes room for him. You never need to manipulate. I've never done that in my entire life. I'm not going to start now. If God opens the door, he'll open it. If he doesn't, I don't want it.
Amen.
I don't care if it's the greatest churches in the world. I don't want to be there. But if he opens this door and I'm here, this is where I want to be. I don't want to be anywhere else on the face of the planet, saints. And here's this man, God raises him up. Why? He is small in his own eyes. In chapter 13, verse 1, and it says, "And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men." Notice there's a subtle change here. He's only reigned for 2 years. He's going to be king for 40 years in Israel. No one else is going to get onto the throne. Nobody else is going to have authority over the army or the politics or over the nation. Nobody else is going to be able to get into that position. He is on it. But notice, he's only king for 2 years and something starts changing.
Yeah.
Here, he actually now chooses him 3,000 men. You know, a preacher who has bodyguards, I worry about.
Yeah.
He's almost worse than the guy who keeps looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, when you, in the looking glass, mirror. Do you know, those preachers had bodyguards, and there's some good men at bodyguards, but I'm telling you, it's a reflection on them.
Yeah.
I tell you, you can't get near them. You know, all the big mega church, you can't go up and shake the preacher's hand.
Yeah.
They're too anointed. You may pollute them. That's why Kenneth Copeland doesn't fly an airplane. I watched him say it with his own lips. He says, "I'm too anointed, and all the demons in that airplane will disturb my spirit." Then your spirit is nothing.
That's right.
All you are is a backslidden money preacher.
Amen.
You don't even love sinners anymore. God help us, where's it come to? Men who seemed to once be anointed, now they are bankrupt. And on their way to hell. Here's this man. He's got 3,000 men with him. In verse 15 it says Saul numbered the people. In chapter 14:17 he numbers the people again. In 14:52 it says Saul, when Saul saw any strong man and any valiant man, he took him unto himself.
Right.
In chapter 15 verse 4, and Saul gathered all the people together and he numbered them. He got into the number game. When a man begins to number and say, this is about numbers and we fight and it's no longer about God. He is already missing it. He's looking at man rather than to God. And that's where Saul began. He started to think of numbers. He started to choose men, not of character. Remember how Moses, he chose men who feared God to serve with him.
Yes.
Not Saul. He began to say, if a man has ripple and muscles, wow, will you come join my bodyguard? Will you be in my army? Will you be a captain? Sure will. And he began to build an army out of great men. Who physically, outwardly looked great, but yet they had no character.
Yes.
They were willing to submit to him because he could give them power,
yes,
influence, notoriety.
Yes.
Look what starts happening in the church of any generation. We read of a great crisis beginning to take place. He's only king for 2 years. Saints, you can move from being small in your eyes to being a big boots.
Right.
Very quickly, 2 years. You could come to this church broken, getting changed by the word of God, trembling, oh God, deal with me. And within 2 years, you can have so changed that it bounces off you like a plastic hammer.
Right.
Doesn't affect you. That's Malcolmson. You didn't used to say that.
Right.
Used to think it was God. Now you go, that's his opinion. God help us.
Amen.
We're in grave danger. Do you know what he does in chapter 13? He's meant to make a sacrifice. The enemy again has invaded the land. Remember what happened the last time the Spirit of God came on him. And he raised up the entire nation. What happens now 2 years later? It says the enemy invades again. And he's to have a feast. Samuel the prophet said, on the seventh day I'll be there. Within 7 days I'll be there. Don't you make that sacrifice. You're not allowed to. You're a king. Don't do my ministry. We have people come in. Start telling me what my job is. Just you mind your business.
Amen.
You don't even come here faithfully or tell me what to do. You don't even do what you're meant to do.
Amen.
Why are you such an expert on my ministry?
Amen.
Or what I'm meant to do? You disobey God like it's going out of fashion. Saints, I'm preaching truth to you tonight.
Amen.
In a very real way. Here's King Saul and he's waiting, he's rubbing his hand. Day one, day two, day three, day four. Where's Samuel? The enemy's gathered. What are we going to do? You used to look for the Holy Spirit. You used to wait on him and say, Lord, either you use me or we're finished. But now you say, I'll make it happen. I can create this. We'll do something. We'll make this work. Most churches on Sunday, if God was to leave Limerick, most of the churches would do this very same thing as they've always done it. They don't need the Holy Spirit. They don't need a God in heaven working. They just function, say the same things, do the same things. Saints, I'm a helpless preacher. I need God. I need the anointing of God. I need the hand of God on me. And you do as well.
Right.
Here's Saul, and he gets to day seven. It's the morning. He says, Samuel hasn't come, and he offered the sacrifice. And as the smoke is ascending, here comes the prophet. He says, what are you doing? I told you to wait until I come. I said I'd be here within 7 days. Told you. I thought you weren't going to come. He said, I hadn't made supplication yet. That means prayer. Why not? You have to wait for a prayer meeting in the church.
Yeah.
You're waiting for a religious convention in order to pray. Why don't you pray at home? Why don't you pray as you walk in the street at night? Saints, Saul was not a man of prayer. And he's here saying, I've got to pray. Why didn't you pray all every day? Why aren't you praying at home? You're waiting for a fest. What an excuse. Oh, I thought you weren't going to come. And there's the enemy. And I hadn't supplicated God yet. And I hadn't offered a sacrifice. So the people forced me. I had no option. I had to do it. And you know what the prophet says to him? Listen, you think God doesn't notice little things. People come in this door, play their little religious games. And they think they can do that and walk out again. And still say, I serve God. Saints, little deviations. In the book of Acts, God killed two Christians in the church service who told a lie. Oh, they give a lot of money to the church. They did. It was a revival. Oh, we sold this land. We've given money to the church. But we kept it back. We lied. Gave an impression.
Yeah.
God killed the two.
Yeah.
Oh, brother, you preach very straight. That's not very nice. The Holy Spirit killed a husband and wife in the church because of a lie.
That's right.
Do you think we're playing games here? I tell you what, lots of people do think we're playing games. Come in and go out. Look at what Samuel then prophesies to King Saul. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Saul, your kingdom is doomed. You've got your ministry. You've got your position of authority. You can control life. You've got thousands of bodyguards. You can stand up and tell them whatever and they'll all give you a round of applause. But you know what? Your kingdom is finished and I've left you. I've left you, my hand's lifted off you. Saints, for the next 38 years, he's going to continue to be the King of Israel. And there's many preachers in the church, they're still preaching. And God left them 38 years ago, or 10 years ago, or a year ago. And they're still carrying on. The Spirit is gone. Do you know how you tell? Look at their life. Look at their decisions. You know what? They don't care about the Word of God. Yeah. That's how you tell whether the Lord is there or not. How do you know if the Holy Spirit's in this church? See, when we start disobeying the Word of God and changing the order of things and going against what He says, the dove is gone. I can tell you, as soon as you see me, say, oh, sure, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Be sure the Holy Spirit's gone. We may look the same, sound the same. We'll probably explode in growth. But the devil have been gone because we don't have biblical order here anymore. Samuel preached him and said, you're finished. And now God is looking for a man after his own heart. What had he done? He just was a bit quick. Offered a sacrifice. Didn't wait on the prophet. I've got a pure heart. Your heart's rotten.
Yeah.
You're a rebel against God. Do you know rebellion's so dangerous? Rebellion against the Word of God. Why are you not obeying the Word of God? You're a rebel. Oh no, I love the Lord. No, you're a rebel. But I'm going to sort it out. What? You're a rebel. If you disobey the clear commands of God, you need to repent of that. Why aren't you broken?
Amen.
You ought to be rending your heart.
Yeah.
And what's he doing? Oh no, you don't understand how to do it. Samuel, how to do it. God doesn't listen to excuses. Do you know in chapter 14 what happens? This man of God, anointed king, he actually says, now I'm putting a vow on all you soldiers. None of yous are going to eat all day. We're going to fight the enemy. None of yous are allowed to touch food. And if any one of you eat food today, you will die. That man will die. So they fought all day long. Guess who didn't get the memo? Jonathan, his son. And later that day he eats honey. And it strengthened his body and illuminated his eyes. And they fought on and won a great victory. And then he comes back to the camp and Saul finds out, my son Jonathan ate honey. He said, I'm a man of my word. Look what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm a man of my word.
Yeah.
Jonathan has to die. He's just disobeyed God's word. He's a rebel against God.
Yeah.
Samuel's preaching him saying, your kingdom is finished. Oh, we'll carry on 38 years.
Yeah.
And here he is saying, Jonathan, you are going to die. You disobeyed my commandment. That's what man's like.
Yeah.
And you know what? All the people, thank God, all the people rose up and said, you are not. We love Jonathan. He's a man of God. You are not going to kill him.
Yeah.
So Saul backed off. Some conviction in that.
Yes,
the people are against me. Well, we'll just leave that one. Then in chapter 15, we actually read about the Amalekites. We read about the Amalekites invading the nation. And the Lord actually says, destroy them all. The Lord speaks to Saul through Samuel and says, destroy all of the Amalekites. Destroy them. The good and the bad.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
The women as well as the children, as well as the king. But what does King Saul do? So he goes, they capture all of the enemy and he says, we'll destroy the bad, but we'll keep the good.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a lot in the good in the prosperity movement. There's still good things in the Catholic Church. Hey, there's still good things in the churches of the city. And we can keep all them. Do you know what the prophet says? Get rid of the good and the bad. We want to go back to God's real. We don't want anything in this kingdom that isn't of God. I don't care how good it is. Oh, but Brother Keith, this would be so nice. Had someone suggest, why don't we get all the churches together to pray? And we can all have unity and we'll pray together and we'll all stand in the street together and everybody in Limerick will believe. That doesn't come from the Bible. That comes from the ecumenical movement.
Amen.
Sounds very nice, but it's not a part of this.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the real gospel of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not a thing. And here he is. Samuel comes on the scene again. What does Samuel represent? The voice of God, the word of God, the authority of God. He's a man with authority who knows God's will. He's not building an army. Just walks with God and preaches truth. And he says to Saul, weren't you told to destroy them all? Oh yes, I did. I obeyed God's word fully. I done everything God told me. Said, what's this bleating in my ears of sheep? What do I hear? He said, oh, but I only kept the good. What did God say?
Yeah.
You have disobeyed God. You should have destroyed it all. Saints, in chapter 15:22, listen to what it says. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And listen, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. What's he saying? Saul, you're saying that you're obedient to God. You're saying that you're doing all that's good. You're rebuking others for what they are doing wrong. You say you're a man under authority. I'm the anointed of God. I've got authority. I've got power. Nobody better question me. If you don't allow others, you can make whatever decision you want. But if you don't want others to advise you and counsel you, there's something rotten with you.
That's right.
Don't tell me that you're a nice Christian. You're not a nice Christian.
Yeah.
If you don't want godly input or someone to say, you know, the Bible says this, or, you know, be careful of that.
Yeah.
If you actually resent that, you're a terrible fool.
Yeah,
you really are. You'll drive into the ditch. You're going to hit someone in a head-on collision. You're going to lose your life.
Yeah.
I've watched kamikaze pilots in the church.
Yeah.
It's like they're set on destruction. And you say, brother, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm talking about new Christians as well as preachers.
Yeah.
That's right.
I had a deal with a preacher in the city. He's heading for the ditch. I said, brother, try to stand in front of him. Brother, don't do it.
Yeah.
Brother, you're going to wreck yourself. Don't do it. Gonna keep driving. Can't change direction. Saints, I'm telling you what I've seen. I'm telling you what this fire. What is Saul? He's a man who was once under authority because he was small in his own eyes.
Yeah.
He was nothing. He thought nothing of himself. He said, I want to obey you. Do you know when they come to anoint him? They couldn't find him. He was hiding. They said, where's Saul? He's the anointed. He was hiding. Why? He's a humble man of God. He listens. He's open. He listens to Samuel. He's a man under authority. But you know what happens as time goes on? Rebellion has come into his heart. And Samuel says, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Do you know what witchcraft is? Spells. It's using another spiritual power. And it happens in Ireland. I tell you, trinkets, get rid of them.
Yes.
Go into a fortune teller or read in your, what's the thing called, read in your?
Yes.
Well, them as well. But reading your little thing in the newspaper. I know Christians and they go to your
horoscope.
Sure, it's harmless. Look, sure, we don't believe it. We just like to, you know. I've had those emails. Forward this email to 1,000 people and you will get €1,000 in your bank account tomorrow. And you get all these people forwarding and go, oh sure, you never know. I know. I know. Nothing comes without a price. You will pay a price for something. You meddle with those things. But you know what? If you're in witchcraft, oh, I'd never do that. Go and consult a medium. It's other demonic spirits.
Yeah.
It's not people, it's demonic spirits.
Yeah.
I can go and get my fortune told or my palm read or anything else.
Yeah.
Do you know in the Bible, people who done that, who were going to church, they got stoned to death.
Yeah.
It was so dangerous. That can't be in the house of God.
Yeah.
That isn't coming in the door. That'll spread, it'll destroy your soul. Oh, sure, it's only a joke. The Lord knows. The Lord will cut you off for that. It's dangerous. You know why? I tell you, I've met people. My wife died. Used to witness them, tell them by Christ, they tremble and say, I know I need Jesus. I know I need the Lord. And I know there's an eternity. And then they went to a seance and their wife, who they missed terribly, so-called, spoke to them from beyond the grave and said, Jimmy, sure do you remember we used to have a glass of whiskey on a Friday night at 10 o'clock? No one else knew that. Only her and me knew that. This must be her. No, it's a demonic spirit destroying your soul. The devil knows an awful lot about you. He can tell your past, and you know what he can say, and you're going to die next week. And I tell you, your child is going to get killed in a car accident a year down the road. I've seen it, I've heard it. I've known of incidents. And you know, you've got people under fear and it happens to them. Isn't it true in Africa? I tell you, people are bound by fear. Curses. Things being said, they tremble, even in the church. God help me, if you're washed in the blood, no curse Amen. Can come upon you. Amen. I've read the testimony of witches, and they try, a little Pentecostal church, little band of believers, and this witch was queen of the witches of Europe, and she said, I'm going to destroy that preacher. And she cursed him. You know what happened? The curse came back on her.
That's right.
And she was so shocked. She come and sat in our church and went, what power do you have? You're only a little band of people. Why could I not touch you? Why did it bounce back at me? I said, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a man under authority. All hell can't touch me.
Amen.
You can't even kill me before I'm going to go out of here. If I'm under authority, you cannot do anything to me. Try your best.
Amen.
And that little lady got born again.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, and come out of that mess. Saints, I've shelved the other two parts of this. It's coming next week. I'm staying with Saul here. I'm dealing with a man who once used to be under authority. But he got so far from God that the Lord said to him, your sin. Now saints, I'm not talking about witchcraft or Satanism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about rebellion in the church is like witchcraft. What had Saul done? He disregarded God's word. He changed God's word. He brought his mind and said, I've got a right to change things. I've got a position in the church. I am the anointed of God. I've got authority. I know an awful lot. I used to prophesy. Used to. I'll do it again. Fall down naked. You know, one of the times when he comes to kill David, he's angry and he's going to kill young David. And he's got a spear. It says he started to prophesy. Got all spiritual. See, the Holy Spirit can move upon a man. Doesn't mean he's holy or that he's a spiritual. You could say, but that man spoke. He revealed things about my life. He could be a demon. It could be the real Holy Spirit though. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, if God raises up a man and anoints him, if a man ever preached on these streets and led souls to Christ, he could backslide and still do that. Do you know, if a man, a pastor, a preacher was in the pulpit and he preaches good messages, he can backslide and still preach good. I'm warning you. But it's got nothing to do with that. What about his life? What about his life? What about his character? What about, does he live this? Does he believe it? Or is he changing God's word? I'm telling you what a rebel looks like. He says, oh, sure, it doesn't matter. Oh, I emphasize, Jonathan is going to die. But I can change the word of God. It doesn't need to apply to me. I can change God's word, but don't you dare change my word. I'm telling you about a rebel. Saul become a spiritual rebel against God, and his sin was as bad as witchcraft. What is witchcraft? It is supernatural power to manipulate people, or to get what you want, or to control people, or to damage people. You know, a lot of people in the church, they get so angry they'll curse you in their heart. May not put it in their lips. They change the word of God. They manipulate you, or they'll use prophecies, or they'll use tears. You ladies maybe use that more than us guys. There are a few sad men who use that as well, I can tell you. But there's nothing worse than a woman crying. I tell you, that can ding on the heartstrings. It's a terrible thing. And that can be used in a manipulation. I tell you, I don't need to see tears to have my attention caught. Just speak the truth. Be real. Here is Saul, a rebel in the house of God. And do you know what? He's going to live for 38 years. He still does the same thing. He's in the house of God. He's a leader. But he's a born rebel. And it's like witchcraft he's involved in. Notice as well, it says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Someone who doesn't listen to the word of God, they're stubborn. See, if someone walks in here, they're in the church, and they accuse me of something, or accuse you of something. They accuse you, they make accusations. Do you know what my first question is? If they come to me and it's about you, I say, have you gone and spoken to them?
Yeah.
Oh no, but I know this is true. You're a liar. You're playing games. I don't care how true it is.
Yeah.
You're playing games.
Yeah.
Don't come to me with your grumps and your gripes. Go to that person.
Yeah.
Or they judge you. They actually make judgments of you and say, this is what you are. I've heard this about you.
Yeah.
Have you come and asked?
Yeah.
Do you know that wrong judgment is unrighteous judgment?
Amen.
If you don't check with the person, or if you don't judge yourself just as hard.
Yeah.
Saints, an awful lot of it in the church, it's drowned it. I can give you 100 testimonies in this city off the top of my head. Individuals that judge everyone else hard comes to them. Oh, I need grace, mercy.
Yeah.
Don't hurt me
by
telling me the word of God.
Yeah.
They're like a dandelion until they turn it in someone else and go, God's going to judge you. Then you bring God's word to them. Please leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's real. Saints, this is Saul religion. It's witchcraft. It is rebellion against God. People playing with the word of God. They're playing church. They're playing religion. They don't believe what this book says. And yet they're playing religion since God's guiding me. And I've got the blessing of God. And I know God is with me. God has departed from you if you're a rebel. He has long left you. And we read many years later. Listen to the life of Saul. He was jealous. He was suspicious. He was fearful. He was angry. He was a murderer in heart and in action. He was arrogant. He was vengeful. And he was a false accuser. That is King Saul for 38 years of his ministry. And most of the people in Israel said, isn't our king great? Look at his stature. He's so anointed of God. The power of God is upon him. Look at all these battles against the enemy he's won. And you know at the end of his life, he's tormented by demons. An evil spirit from the Lord. See, the spirit of God left him. And a spirit, an evil spirit from the Lord came to him. And every time it come on him, he would get angry. And he would get depressed and suicidal. Let me show you as we close the end of King Saul. We actually read about him in chapter 28. See, God had stopped speaking to him. You can't make God speak to you. See if God's speaking to you. I mean, if you feel, man, I feel convicted. Man, I know what God's telling me to do. I know God's dealing with things in my life. You ought to be glad here tonight.
Amen.
Do you know that Saul was such a rebel against God, but he's in the house of God. He's worshipping. He's singing. He's doing it all. He's in the prayer meeting, but he's such a rebel against God's word. He wanted Christianity without the word of God. He wanted a relationship with God, but he didn't want to obey the word of God. That's rebellion. And we actually read of him in his last days, God, he couldn't make God speak to him. God, speak to me in a dream. No dream comes. God, speak to me through a prophet. No prophet comes. God, speak to me through the Unum and Thunum. Nothing comes. God isn't speaking. And you know what? This man of God, he put out all the witches out of the land, said, if I find a witch in the nation, I'll kill them. But he goes down to Endor and knocks on the door of a little lady. How did he know where to find her?
Yeah.
It's the law of the land. He made the laws.
Yeah.
No witches in my country. I don't allow it. I follow the Lord. I'm the anointed of God. We don't tolerate witchcraft. But he got so desperate. God's not speaking to me. I don't feel his presence. Nothing's happening. The enemy is there. I'm tormented in my mind. I hate young David. I'm filled with suspicion and fear. And this young man who loves Jesus, I hate him. If you ever find a Christian that hates and gets angry at other Christians who love Jesus, don't doubt us, don't doubt him.
Yes, amen.
There's something terribly wrong. Saints, my worst enemies, I haven't been able to hate them in my entire lifetime.
Yes.
Do you hear me? I've had men do terrible things to me. I wouldn't even like to tell you tonight. Terrible things over years. I still never hated them. I wasn't even tempted to hate them or get angry with them. Do you know what? All I had was love in my heart. And when I find a Christian, you tell them what the Bible says. I'm angry with you. Man, you're a rebel.
Amen.
You're actually not under authority. You don't believe anything of this book. But look at him. He can't make God speak, but he goes down to that little door. He says, lady, he's got his cloak on, so can't be seen. No one sees who he is. And he goes in there and says, lady, I know you're a witch. And I want you to call someone up from the grave for me. I want you to do this. He says, are you trying to catch me out? He says, I swear you'll be safe. No one will touch you. Do you see what happens when you get away from God and become a rebel? You'll do things you never imagine. You'll go begging witches to prophesy to you. You'll go begging, you'll disguise yourself. Then you'll go down there. Never thought it could get that far. What did it start with? Just disobeying the word of God. You've got so far away from God, you don't even know what's right anymore. It doesn't, no conviction anymore. No conscience. Your conscience doesn't bother you. You know, David, we'll look at it. When he cut off Saul's garment, his conscience struck him, smote him. Not Saul, he can go to a witch and say, I need to know. I need to hear from beyond the grave. And says, okay, you've promised me. And she says, who do you want? Samuel, he's dead now. Call him up from the grave. I want to speak to him. And she starts on her efforts, and all of a sudden she yells and falls to the ground. He says, what have you seen? A man like God's coming up out of the ground. What does he look like? He's got a mantle around him. That's him, that's Samuel. And Samuel begins to speak. I know lots of people say this wasn't Samuel, it was a spirit. The Bible says it was Samuel. And the instruction it gives is very clear. Don't you ask me to explain. Why would she be scared if she'd done it all the time? Maybe she was a hookster. Puts on a squeaky voice, I'm your wife! And then it really happens. She's scared to death. Go on, it's happening. The earth is opening. And says, you're Saul, you lied to me. You deceived me. Instantly she knew. This is supernatural. And Samuel is there saying, why have you disturbed me? And says, you know what? This time tomorrow you're going to die. You want a prophecy? I'll give you a prophecy. You are a rebel. God left you 38 years ago. You destroyed the anointing. You have destroyed the work of God in your life. You have fought against me and you're still saying, I'm okay. I'm fine. God's going to bless me. But this time tomorrow, you're going to die. And you'll be with me in Hades. That's where you'll be. The next day he goes off into battle with his great armies and everything he has. And you know what happens? The archers. Remember Ephesians 6, the enemy. What does that enemy fire at Christians? Arrows. Fiery darts. Arrows set on fire. And Saul is in the battle. You know why? He's got no protection. He's got an army, but no protection. I'd rather be an individual and stand against all hell. As long as I've got God and the anointing of God. And he's there and saying, no one's going to get me. I'm a man of war. And the archers fired their arrows. And he got hit by the archers deadly. And he had to be carried out of the battle. And the enemy is closing in on him. And he says to his armor bearer, kill me. The armor bearer says, you're the anointed of God. You have authority. I'm not going to touch you. No way am I going to kill you. I don't want to face God having killed God's anointed or to touch authority. I wish I came back to the church.
Yeah.
People treat pastors like they're some bit of muck in the ground.
Yeah.
I tell you, if this book is true, anyone who does that, And saints, I'm the first to say, if a church is wrong, get out of it.
Yes.
And if the preacher is abusive, get out of it. I'll be the first. If he abuses, get out of there. But you know what? If he's a man of God and he preaches truth like Samuel and you treat him like a bit of muck, you don't want to die like that.
Amen.
These men in this book, this Bible, didn't want to die with that in their hands. Those who knew the Bible and feared God, I'm not going to kill you, Saul. I see you suffering with these arrows. I'm not going to strike that last blow. He says, don't let me die at the hands of the Philistines, the uncircumcised. Someone help me. So do you know what he does? He gets his own sword and he falls on it to kill himself. He's got arrow wounds. He's trying to commit suicide. He's seen a witch and now he's trying to commit suicide. What a tragic end. 38 years ago he never would have dreamed it. It starts with a little deviation.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure I don't need to be in the house of God. I don't need to be in prayer. I don't need to give to God. I don't need to obey. I can have an unsaved girl or boyfriend. Sure, it's okay. The Lord understands. You're on a slippery slope. And that's why I'm here. 38 years time, there's no point me speaking to you. You're far gone. I'm speaking to you when it begins.
Yes.
I'll come to you and say, brother, wake up now. Yes. Because I tell you what, a day will come. God can't speak to you and I sure won't be able to speak to you. Because if God can't even speak to your heart, God says, I'm not speaking to them anymore. Why would I even try to speak to you? Saints, lying there in a sword, he still wasn't dead. But another young man came along. And he says, kill me. Kill me. And the young man lifted his sword and killed him. And you know when David caught a hold of that young man, the young man comes saying, I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to be rewarded. I killed David's enemy. I killed the anointed of God who was trying to kill him all these years. And David said, whatever made you think that I'd be happy about you doing that? Aren't you scared? Don't you fear the anointing of God? Aren't you scared that God has set authority? And I don't care if it's in the home or in work or in the nation or in the church. Are you not scared? You're not dealing with a husband or a wife or a government or a preacher. You're dealing with God. And David says, you young men, kill him. Come here, boast and think I'm going to be. I put that preacher straight. I told him, you think I'm going to rejoice with you? I went in that church and sorted them out. Your attitude stinks.
Yeah, amen.
I've never done that in my life. Mm-hmm. That older man, I put him in his place. Don't rebuke an elder.
Yeah.
Saints, we're seeing a man. I've got a lot to say. You can tell I could keep you here for 3 hours. But we're dealing with King Saul, a rebel against God, a rebel against God in the house of God. And saints, I'll tell you, that'll lead you to witches who'll prophesy your doom the next day. But if you listen to the word of God, see, if you reject a Samuel, you'll end up with the witch of Endor.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's people who walked out of here rejecting this preacher.
Yeah.
And you mark my words, if we live for the next 30 years in this city, we'll see the day that they're banging on the door begging the Witch of Endor in Limerick to speak to them.
Amen.
And they'll die in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not playing with your life or your heart. I'm giving you the word of God as clear as Samuel did. Because
mm-hmm.
you know what I know? There's a freedom and there's a deliverance and there's a holiness of life.
Yeah.
And God will set you free from every addiction. He'll set you free from suicide, from acts of criminality. He'll deliver you from false religion, depression, hopelessness, everything. He'll deliver you. Saints, I believe in a real God.
Yeah.
Listen to the word of God. David went through hell obeying the word of God. But he was raised up as the anointed of God and blessed of God and honored of God. And you may end up in dark caves because you obey God. And you may seem blessed because you listen to the devil.
Yeah.
But the end of it is you'll go to hell having spoken to witches. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord God, just for your word, even tonight, Lord God. We don't.